Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
You needed the help of Carrie Klein.
No. No one helped me. She was there for moral support, emotional support. She didn't do anything.
She gave him a low blow.
Should have said
what are you talking
die.
About?
She cheated.
I don't no. You're old. You think you saw what you saw, but you didn't see that.
You know what? Every time Ricky tells me something, I believe it. I'm starting to buy it.
And you're a smart man for believing that.
Hi, I'm Bink Bottom Trouser, the ring announcer from Sideshow Pro Wrestling, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Oh, completely generic music for a completely generic wrestler. Welcome to the show, Roughneck.
What do you mean, generic wrestler?
You look like that strong man at a circus. Why don't you carry a pair of dumbbells that are circular to the ring next time?
This is the Greek god, Demetrius Papadon, the greatest unsigned talent today, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
You have been wrestling for 10 years, and it's, it's definitely the highlight, the one. If I had to sum up, you know, a whole, you know, whole lot of time in a wrestling ring, you know, that's the one match I'd show people. Something I'm very proud of, something, you know, it's kind of funny, I watched today, knowing I was coming on here tonight, and I wanted to check it out again. I watched it again today, and I really do believe that something, it was special, it's different. You know, you can do TLC matches, you know, to your blue in the face, but what we did was something different. We told, you know, a totally different story than anything that's ever been done, hopefully will ever be done. I really do believe it's something that will stand the test of time. She's such a sweetheart. For somebody that's kicked me in the head as hard as she has, she's a heart of gold. just an unbelievably good person. I'm very grateful that we had those moments. We had that trilogy, you know. I keep teasing the fact, never say never. I'd love to do one more.
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Look, Tank Toland.
Don't.
Is a dummy. Okay, that's number one. I can remember the very first time that I heard Tank Toland was coming to New Moon Rising Wrestling. I can remember that quite well. It was on an edition of fan mail on YouTube from Robert Knight. When I heard that, I was very excited. Now, a lot of people don't know this. I was a big Tank Toland fan back in the Ring of Honor days. I was looking forward to the opportunity of actually perhaps meeting Tank Toland.
Yeah.
That opportunity. You know what they say when you meet a man for the first time that you admire? A lot of times they turn out to be a jerk. And that's what Tank Toland was. He shunned me. Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. It is the 48th. It's the countdown to the 50th episode, which is coming very shortly. I am your host. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County on Twitter. With me, as always, with a new name tonight, is Dan Colachico Cujo to his close personal friends.
You know what? Dan Law was from a different place and a different time, and it doesn't mean anything at all. So he is dead. And I don't know, my real name is much more awesome. So, Dan Long, dead.
It only took you a year.
Well, you know, it was funny and to pull the curtain back for a second. I was thinking about it, and people think this is funny. I brought it to you. We're like, I think it was stupid from the beginning. I was like, well, why didn't you tell me? It was stupid. It was originally derived from, you know, when I was a teenager and I just needed an online handle. And Dan Law, I just died.
All right. So, Dan, as he's fixing his issues there.
I'm good.
We will be joined later on by Chris Omega Squad Green. You can find him at Omega Squad. You can read the blog at HIACTalkRadio.com. Follow us on Twitter at HIACTalkRadio. Like the Facebook at HIACTalkRadio. You can subscribe on iTunes, listen on Stitcher. Just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We're also proudly part of the BradyHicks.com. We're there right now, apparently. I'm not sure. Who knows?
What? Just because his computer doesn't work doesn't mean the website's down.
How can he post it, Dan? Ask yourself that.
Son of a bitch!
Yes, I haven't looked at the website, so I'm not sure.
Well, the Brady Hicks, well, you know, since I have a computer, apparently, I'll check it.
Yeah, go ahead. Go right ahead.
But anyway, thank you for pronouncing it correctly, by the way.
Okay. I didn't know I ever pronounced it wrong. But anyway, tonight we have Drew Gulak coming to the show. He's, of course, the campaign for a better CZW. And we're going to get into all that. How he broke in. Interesting stories will abound.
I mean, anybody who breaks in the CZW Academy.
It wasn't the academy he went to. He did train there for a time. He still trains there now. I think he's like an associate trainer. He actually broke in with the Chikara Pro Wrestling Academy.
I thought he started at the academy.
No.
That's why we do these interviews, to find
exactly,
out.
So we know.
Oh, I have a legit question.
No, okay.
And you'll know better than me because you were following CZW. I stopped for years. I saw an old advertisement that had, there was an East Coast Academy and a West Coast Academy.
I never knew.
Oh. Well, there you go. There was a West Coast Academy at one point, and I'm not sure if it's still open.
Maybe Drew knows.
Well, we'll ask Drew.
Maybe Drew knows.
What would Drew do? Nothing is on that website, so let's not mention it until it's fixed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's up, but it's like...
Hasn't been updated in 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's like, what?
You know, I have access to the site, so maybe I can...
you do that.
Fix a few things.
I tried to fix it. I tried to tell him just get a new thing, and nobody listens to me.
No, we everybody told him. I think he's actually working on getting it fixed. He asked me for some advice, but again, this has nothing to do with what we're doing here tonight.
Yes, I was making a side comment, but we told him to buy a gateway. No, I'm kidding. No, kidding.
Also, we're going to be joined. This is, I just found out, really.
Really?
Yes, Justin America will be joining us here tonight for Just in America.
We can't have Roughneck back.
Who wants Roughneck, please?
I do. With his circular dumbbells.
Yes.
That was a joke, Roughneck. I'm a dummy, apparently.
Why are you a dummy?
Because I support him.
Well, you are a dummy if you support the Roughneck.
You know, when you talk about Tuck Tank Tolling, you sound like a little whiny girl sometimes. Anyway, I like Tank Tolling.
Thanks, Dan.
No problem. So we're best friends, and we're good friends, and I want to support you. Not best friends. You and Brady are best friends.
After the weekend that Brady and I had, we bonded even closer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yes.
No comment will be
no
made.
No comment. I wasn't going to say anything. That's true. You've been on the front lines together. Finally. Yeah, that's all.
Yes.
Doug Brady, I love you. I love you too.
Oh, that futon. Good God. That's the only comment I'll make about that.
At least had springs.
We're also going to be joined by the Mystery Men. They are a band from a lucha band, Dan, from the Grimlock system.
This is, like, one of the few names since we've been doing the show that I actually have never, ever heard before. and it's, you know, slightly different. I'm very interested to see how this is, this band come about, because...
Well, I have a few songs. we have three songs we're going to go over, we're going to listen to.
There's another band I reached out to about coming on here, but he doesn't listen anymore.
I wouldn't want that.
I know, I'm just trying to point here.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that, Dan.
Produced so well. George Martin-like material.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why you don't have the producer title, Dan, because...
We should do this. No, we really shouldn't, actually.
Yeah, No. I don't even know how I could advertise that. Now, Dan, I do want to bring up, of course, as we're waiting for Drew... as I'm waiting for Drew. Of course, over the weekend, there was the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, and I thought it was a steaming pile of crap.
Of crap, yeah. Yeah,
how do you feel about it, Dan?
No, I think it was I don't think it was a steaming pile of crap. I think it was a nice, runny, diarrhea crap. It was that bad.
One where you had to run to the bathroom and evacuate very quickly.
First of all, I missed the first half of it, so I still have. I missed the first hour, which is probably the best hour of the show. Royal Rumble, I kind of popped for Goldust. I don't know. Call me gay.
No. I think that should be a match. They missed the boat last year. Why not have Dustin Reynolds and Cody Rhodes go at it this year?
Wait a minute. Last year, they've missed it. They've missed the boat on that for 4 years.
Well, I think Cody Rhodes starting last year was established enough to actually have a...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, to have that match with his brother. And it would mean something.
What year was it? I remember, I think it was 2009, the Royal Rumble. Randy's in there. Randy... Cody's in there, and Goldust comes out, and those two went at it for a good 30 seconds, and there was a pop, a big pop for it.
Oh, sure.
It's like, hello? Two people that couldn't know each other any better, I guess. You know?
But overall, overall, people were talking about, some people were saying it was good. Actually, one of our listeners that always... talks to us, Bill Olson, he thought it was a great show.
Really?
I have no idea what that was.
And I have a huge amount of respect for Bill's opinion, because he goes to more shows, I think, than you do.
I think it's about tight. Well, he misses some weeks.
Did he miss the show you were and Brady were at?
He was actually there.
Oh, he was there?
So, you know what? And it was an amazing thing. I'm not going to talk too much about it because...
Yeah, we've got to get him on, though.
Joel Goodhart was also there. Glenn Osborne, Aaron Gainey was there. Once leaving the locker room, it was
a great time.
It was a fantastic night. I do have a caller, and Dan, we know who it is. I think he wants to chime in about the Royal Rumble now. John from Rhode Island, how are you doing tonight?
How are you guys?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you called in. I'm glad. This is great. This is great. So,
who better to hit with the expert about the Rumble? What happened?
You are the expert, John. So what did you think about this year's Royal Rumble?
Yet again, once I was hoping that Ryback was not going to enter at number 30, because we all know nobody's been winning it that often except Cena and Taker. And once I saw it, damn, I knew that it's going to be someone else. And what again? Cena being the third one. Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan, and now Cena being put in that pit. And now what's going to be happening yet again?
I'll tell you what,
John. Oh, now we're going to see Cena put to The Rock, but this time it's going to be for the title. And what's going to be so special about it? Like, I remember we were talking about on Facebook.
I'll just say this to both of you, because I've been trying to avoid the I hate John Cena train. I'm on it. After the Royal Rumble, I was like, okay, that was stupid.
Yeah, so what about the pay-per-view as a whole, John? There was, of course, the tag team title match. How'd you feel about that?
I was just more happy that it was way better than last year's Royal Rumble, because last year's, to me, was the worst ever, because there were hardly any big main eventers in that one last year. You know, so many weak guys in this one, but all I can say about the Rumble for a huge shock was seeing Jericho back, and that one was the pop. Like,
yes.
There's never been a big, huge return at number two, except when Goldust made his return in 2002.
Absolutely.
So that one was a big one.
The
only thing I got to say about
Royal
Rumble is...
Hold on. How do you compare it to Mr. Perfect's return in 2003?
No, I'm saying, like, whoever made the return at number two.
Oh, it's just at number two. Gotcha. Okay, go ahead, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying, like, more main eventers inside this year's Royal Rumble to make it exciting, and I absolutely knew that Godfather was not going to last long because he doesn't have any interest in wrestling anymore. So let's just make it a record.
Kevin Nash.
What?
No, I said he has less move than Kevin Nash.
Yeah, I mean,
thanks,
the
John.
What I was happy to see, like, I was so happy I didn't see Big Show in it because it's still cheating. And they have their title shot at the show, and let's put them in, get another shot at inside the Rumble, like they did for the past couple of 2 years. Putting Dolph Ziggler after getting a title shot, and put Big Show again in the Royal Rumble to get another title shot. And then I'm just glad that didn't happen this year, especially for Michael Cole not entering.
Oh, well, I have another question, completely off the actual Rumble match. How did you feel about The Rock winning the title with a people's elbow, John?
Yeah, I was really surprised. Oh, my God, I just went, because now it's going to be the same thing. Because I was just hoping for CM Punk to head towards WrestleMania for a long title holder, like being like a JBL, holding it for so long and then losing at WrestleMania to John Cena in 2005. So that one would have been interesting. But yet again, this is like 1998 with Shawn Michaels' injury and like CM Punk having his injury to lose it, even though Shawn didn't lose it at the Royal Rumble. And by the way, that's another thing that this year's Royal Rumble kind of seemed like. When Cena's music hit, everyone stopped, just like when Steve Austin entered in 98.
Yeah, it's true.
No.
Yeah.
I tell you what, John, though, when you tell a story, I almost feel like I'm there.
It's because I always remember these memorable moments about the Royal Rumble, because it's my favorite out of the whole year.
Do you have a song that captures the memorable moments of the Royal Rumble, John?
No.
Oh, John, you're always letting me down.
I think this
is fantastic. John, I think...
I got to say about this is... What's going to be supposed for Alberto Del Rio? That's the question, because if they're going to put Ryback in it, they still do that same thing, I believe, in No Way Out. Who's going to face the world champion, I believe they're going to do, right?
What was your question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're going to, like, first it's the Royal Rumble, and then whoever's going to face the other champion starts at No Way Out in the Elimination Chamber. So what do you think they're going to be doing with that one? Because if they're going to want to put Ryback in that, what do you think is going to happen? He's going to go to face the champion, and are we going to see Dolph Ziggler beat him just like a Yokozuna moment with Hulk Hogan defeated Yokozuna? Have it, hold it just for a few minutes if he wins it at WrestleMania. If Dolph Ziggler catches the Money at the Bank at WrestleMania.
I think that's happening. Mark my words, Cena wins, Ziggler cashes in, but actually he can't because it's for the world title, not the... I can correct it myself, so... Not going to happen, John.
Don't go back to memorable moments, like... And for example, what I forgot to say, like they did in the beginning, the first Royal Rumble, 88, towards 92, I'm going to be winning the Rumble tonight. I need to win it. That's what I do not enjoy at all at this year's Royal Rumble. They never show what the Royal Rumbles have been over the past couple of years before they led up to it this year. So it looks like this is the first Royal Rumble. Oh, we're so excited.
Well, you know, in 2004, they didn't have one.
What, was there a strike, Dan? What happened?
Somebody went just, you know, crazy.
Oh, I see what you were doing there.
I see what I was doing.
Well, Benoit. John, referring to Benoit.
No, no, you can't say that name.
So who are the two competitors? So who are the two winners, Michael? Tell me, who are they? Shawn Michaels and who?
Who are you talking to?
I don't know who he's talking
Art
to.
Art of a Champion, larger in hat.
I don't even know what that means, Dan. I have no idea. You're talking about margarine hats.
Anybody who watches The Family Guy is laughing right now.
I haven't watched Family Guy since 1998.
Apparently neither is John. I don't either, but I'm kind of dragging.
And I think Michael, by accident, did a blooper. Two people are starting
a
number.
A blooper?
And then stopped right there. Didn't
what
finish his sentence.
Well,
I don't know what the hell's going on. John,
it is always entertaining either way. I appreciate you still listening and calling in, sir.
I got to let you go because we got to move on, John. It's always a pleasure, though.
Yep, you too. Have a great week.
Thank you, John. I might bring you back on in a few minutes. Just hang out for a little bit because I'm not sure what the heck's going on.
Yep, and there'll be a song coming.
Well, then I hope somebody never shows up and we get a song.
Okay, so I put him back on hold, I believe.
No, there was I don't usually, just real quick, I don't usually watch The Family Guy, but I was up late and my girlfriend was watching, so I decided to watch it. That's the only reason why I know that line. I have no idea anything else about that show.
I don't know anything either, Dan.
Do I need to fill in time?
Yeah, just for a minute.
Okay. I think the creative juices trickled down, referring to my diarrhea line, I think the creative juices trickled down into Raw.
Yeah, Raw was pretty bad.
I mean, what I was trying to convey on the blog I wrote is how bad of an idea spinning a wheel and doing a roulette is.
Oh.
It's a terrible idea. Just bad. And the whole show, the first 2 hours and 45 minutes I could have done without. The last segment with Paul Heyman and Vince and Brock was worth it. Period. That was worth the 3 hours. It was a fantastic. Anytime you get Paul in the ring and you put a mic in his hand, I think you got a good segment.
I can agree with that.
I mean, better than 2 hours and 45 minutes. Okay, now spin the wheel.
Oh, you're talking about Vicky, of course.
Well, Vicky wasn't my problem. Just after an hour and a half, I was like, "Will somebody please shut her up, or learn another octave?"
I can understand that. Yeah, sure.
It's like listening to a I'm going to forget her name, so I'm going to just bail on that one. This is how the night's going to go, Dean.
It sure is, Dan.
Cyndi Lauper, that's it.
She has a reality show, Dan. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Thank you. No, I don't give a damn. I saw her on Wendy Williams the other day at work because everybody at work watches it and I don't, so of course they leave it on. And I saw her talking our head with blah, 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 blah. And I would like to thank Master Official Anthony Agante for getting the reference to Family Guy. Thank you. I don't feel so lonely in the universe. So what's going on, Dean? Is there something we can play so you find out what the heck?
I certainly am, and I was just waiting for you to...
Dude, I can ramble for another hour if you
want. No. I just wanted you to, get out whatever you had to get out. Type of night.
I just thought after being that it's one of their main pay-per-views, and the show after one of their main pay-per-views really, really sucked. And I think...
You know what, Dan? I want to make a point right now. We'll get back into Raw when we can. Raw discussion. We'll bring John back on, too. And I do have another caller. However, I just want to make
a point. The caller we're supposed to have.
No, not at all.
God damn it.
But I just want to make this point very clear. We have been doing this for 10 months now and have never been stood up. Yes. Have never been stood up.
No, by nobody. Tully Blanchard didn't. He filled his gas tank when we talked to him, for Christ's sake.
Greg Excellent was fixing fine culinary arts.
Dan Severin was
beating someone to a pulp.
beating the crap out of somebody.
We'll see you on the other side.
Ojos tienes debajo de esas dos cejas, debajo de esas dos cejas, qué bonitos ojos tienes. Ellos me quieren mirar, pero si tú no los dejas, pero si tú no los dejas, ni siquiera parpadear. Malagueña, salerosa. Besar tus labios quisiera, malagueña salerosa, y decirte, niña hermosa.
All right, we are back, and I have reached out to Drew Gulak. He thought it was 9:30. He mixed up the times. Probably my fault, because originally this was scheduled for 9:30 before I switched it, because this was scheduled in advance. So he said we can reschedule whenever. So Drew will be back.
Oh, cool. All right, well, at least it wasn't a true, like, who? F these guys.
No. I didn't really think it was that sort of thing.
Nobody stands me up. Nobody!
You two talk about Raw. I'll be overseeing things.
Hi! Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined early by Chris Omega Squad.
How you guys doing?
Hi, everybody. So have you got a chance to watch Raw yet?
Yeah, I got to watch Raw.
And your overall feelings?
Meh.
Did you at all see or hear anything about the Royal Rumble?
I watched the Royal Rumble.
Okay, and so do you feel the same? Have you heard my thoughts, and do you agree?
I heard the steaming pile of crap.
Diarrhea.
I got the gist of that. No, actually, I thought it was fine.
Really?
I did.
You thought this week was fine?
You know what? I thought
the Rumble was fine.
Maybe the Rumble was fine. Maybe it's because the last couple of years I've been spoiled by... I was expecting bigger in the Royal Rumble itself, maybe. Like, okay, yeah. The Godfather came out, wasted 10 minutes of my time. It was great to see, because I think Godfather's hilarious. But like John says, he wasn't going to last long, because I think, as I said, he knows less than Kevin Nash. But I've been spoiled by Diesel.
Nice,
you know?
Segue, Dan, because I'm bringing John back on.
Oh, thank you. I'm good like that. I am the segue king.
But, hey, John, are you back?
I'm still here.
Okay, good.
Wait. Hold on. John, before you go, Chris didn't finish his thought.
I didn't get the finish. I was like, okay, fine, and everybody laughed. Anyway. All right. No, I thought it was fine. I mean, the Rumble itself was fun for what it was. I mean, you know, did we get a huge person coming back other than Jericho? No, we didn't. Honestly, they can only go to that well so long. I mean, unless Lesnar came in, I don't think that anything would have, you know, really trump Jericho.
Let me just make a note. I think Jericho is fantastic, and I was happy. But then everything else was like, well, Jericho's out, so who cares about everybody else?
Well, I mean, I'm sitting there waiting for Shelton Benjamin. You know, I'm waiting for Shelton Benjamin to show up. And I was waiting for
Ultimate Warrior.
Well, that would be cool, too, but I guess. I mean, that'd be funny, at least amusing for a while.
Well, yeah, he'd get to the ring, and then he'd be tired.
Yeah. But, you know, I thought it was fine for, you know, I thought it was fun. Watched it with my son for his first Rumble. He really enjoyed it.
I think that really was all that matters.
It served its purpose for being, you know, was it an event Rumble? Probably not. I tend to agree with you there, but I think it was fine. It set up some stuff for down the line. The Bo Dallas thing, I can get behind the Bo Dallas thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
One last thing before you finish. Did you buy HD or standard?
HD.
Oh, God.
Why wouldn't I buy HD?
I was just looking at the price. I was like, you know what? I'll watch a digital stretch tonight.
I can't.
I have someone else who wants to join the fun. It's Ryan Big Burgundy. Let's bring him on.
It's all over now.
And I have another caller.
Dan, it's not all over.
Oh, thank you.
I have another caller. So
are we Big Burgundy or Slim Burgundy this evening?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm always Big Burgundy.
Ah, very good. 10 points.
I also have another caller, so let me get them on. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Call the package from the state of New Jersey.
Who's this?
This is Paul the Package.
Paul the Package.
Paul the Package?
Paul the Package.
I can get behind that.
Sure, why not?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Are you one of the trainees under Joe Gacy? Is that you?
I'm actually trapped in the basement of the Roughneck right now. Yeah, I said that Robert Knight was my favorite wrestler, and now he's got me trapped in his basement.
Well, why would you tell him that?
It doesn't seem like a good career move.
Not at all.
I would just keep your pants on. Don't do anything stupid.
same advice I would give him.
Well, Paul the Package, thanks for calling in and give us that very creepy news.
Thank you, Roughneck. I wouldn't do.
I appreciate it.
Roughneck can do what Roughneck wants because the Roughneck is Roughneck.
I have no idea what the hell that was.
John from Rhode Island, are you still alive?
I'm still here.
All right, Pete, go ahead, take this back over, please.
Now, John, you said you wanted to talk about Ron. Ron? You wanted to talk about Raw.
Where's your Dean?
Here's your chance.
Yeah, exactly what you guys said. Why are we wanting to see a Raw with a spin the wheel? Tell me about that. I put that down on Facebook. Okay, let's try it again. Take one, take two, take three, take five, take six, take seven, take eight. We need to get a pathetic match for the fans. Spin it again, a pathetic match. Make me laugh, body slam, dance. Why do we want to see them? There's no more first blood. Like, why are we wanting to see all these stuff? And Ryback, I believe, didn't even do make me laugh, except getting up like a...
I did the same thing. I got a touch on.
What the hell... What is going on? Who are you talking to, Ryan?
Who am I talking to? I'm actually watching people try and jump and get a balloon. It's quite hilarious.
I don't know what
that doesn't really work for radio.
I know.
Or podcasts.
I have no idea what's going on.
John brings up a good point, though.
I didn't even hear it because I heard Ryan talking to someone. Perhaps he's in the basement with Paul the Package. I don't know.
Just that Raw Roulette is... I think Raw Roulette is played out.
Stuck in the basement.
Yeah.
Trust me, I would never venture to Roughneck's basement. That sounds like a scary, torturous place.
Very well said.
I don't think I would go to any grown man's basement. Just saying.
That's a good point. I would stay far away from grown men's basements.
Just, you know, that's just me. But I guess if you're into that sort of thing, that's fine. Far be it for me to judge.
So, Ryan, your thoughts on the WWE television package from this past weekend?
I'd like you to throw that in there. Oh, gosh. Awful. Pathetic. Ridiculous. Annoying. Boring.
Yeah.
I mean, you pick the adjective. It works for it.
I'm just not seeing it, guys. I thought it was fine. Was it great? No, but it was... It was passable.
And keep in mind, the Royal Rumble is my favorite event, and I thought it was awful.
You know what, though? He said the same thing last year, but he voted, if you recall, he voted for it as the best event of the year.
I said the Rumble match itself I thought was a lot of fun. The Rumble match this year wasn't fun.
What happened at the Royal Rumble last year? There's my big question.
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. They were hardly any huge main eventers, probably like two or three in that whole Rumble last year.
You know, and next year,
by the way, we never mentioned what happened. How boring was seeing Kofi Kingston again perform a circus performance?
I actually
thought that was a good spot. Boing, 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 boing.
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys have an opinion on this. Was the spot to jump from the announce table and he couldn't do it?
I don't know. Hold on, let me think.
Maybe.
Or was the cheer thing planned?
I think he did. I think, yeah, what I'll do is I'll get on the launch table and then I'll jump into the ring. And then he looked at us and said, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Give me your chair. What do you want my chair for? Can I say another highlight is JBL?
JBL was awesome.
Him on commentary is amazing. I really like him on commentary. He's hilarious. I would not put him on the Bobby Heenan level, but he's close, in my opinion.
He brings a much different style, I think, than like Heenan or someone like that.
Right.
And I think it works great.
It's needed out there. Again, I'm really trying to like Michael Cole after the way he handled himself with the whole King had a heart attack thing, but King didn't die and you still suck, so...
Well, yeah, we can respect what he did for King, but and still criticize his work.
Is that what you call it?
Has JBL brought back what they needed, or would you have preferred them to keep with like Booker T or somebody like that?
No, book, no. If I hear Shucky Ducky
all day.
If I see if I hear Shucky Ducky quack quack one more time.
I agree with, I'm believing, I agree with you. I'm just asking the question.
God,
I'm sure there's
some
people out there going, "Oh my God, Booker T, I missed him. He was awesome."
I'd
rather
listen to an old WCW Thunder when Stevie Ray was the color guy.
Oh,
Dean.
It was all the way on Dan.
I even stalled the sentence for you guys.
For the...
All the way at the bottom.
It was a fake stutter, for crying out loud.
All the way at the bottom. Closing thoughts for our two callers. I'll start with Ryan.
What's your dream woman?
Your closing thoughts of perhaps one of the worst weeks of WWE programming I can think of in quite some time.
I would agree with that. That's a very fair statement. Raw was pathetic. The Rumble was awful. If this is the beginning of the road to WrestleMania this year, I don't have very good hopes for WrestleMania this year. Because it's not good so far. Not good at all. Very predictable. Very ridiculous. And I had high hopes, too, to be honest with you. I thought this was going to be a great WrestleMania. Now I'm wondering if it's even going to be a below-average WrestleMania.
I had no such hopes. None.
You are the eternal pessimist, aren't you?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I do have another caller. So, Ryan, I'm going to put you on hold. So,
Is this a call via from Roughneck Basement?
I don't know. Let me just double-check something first. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute.
Hey, Chris, how's going on? What's going on?
What's going on? I don't know. It seems like we're coming off the rails already.
If we had our own show, it would suck.
Okay, I'm going to put the caller on.
No,
I just wanted to double check something.
I'm going to say something so he can wait.
You know, we could have our own show. It's just if we're waiting for Dean is what's screwing
Royal
us
up. Rumble was so good that, you know, for the Elimination Chamber, they're only having one Elimination Chamber match.
Okay. Yeah, let me see who this is. So, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
What is it?
All right, who's this?
This is John Cena.
Oh,
I just
Brady.
Won Royal Rumble. I'm passing my ticket to WrestleMania, baby.
Oh, Brady.
This is the first time I have popped for you, Brady.
How
that was really funny.
Is it? How exciting is it that they went the predictable way and we're getting Cena Rock too? I'm stoked.
It's almost as exciting as getting a hysterectomy, Brady.
Well, I would think it would be more exciting than that.
No. Apparently nobody else knows what a hysterectomy is.
I don't think I can get one, so that's just me.
Actually, I think you can, Chris.
Don't make me come over.
Oh, yeah, come on over.
Dean Dixon, I was jumping at the chance to call tonight. It feels like forever since I've been on a podcast.
Yeah. It's 2 weeks without in the room, huh? How's that feeling?
It's weird. I'm going through withdrawal. I had the shakes today.
I'm sure you did.
No,
I think it was related to the podcast.
A fat person fell in Philly somewhere.
It could be diabetic. I'm not sure.
You do eat a lot of sugary foods.
I do. I like sugar.
How was your weekend, Brady?
My weekend was great. You know, we checked out a great DWF show on Saturday night. Awesome. Great stuff.
Brady is the greatest worker ever.
it was incredible. There was Legends Night, Dean. I got to watch Legends inducted with a megaphone.
Are you serious? That's true?
That's what happens. That's what happens when you assault the sound guy and he leaves before the show.
Holy shit.
Am I right, Dean? Am I right? You may not want to say it. I'll say it.
So, was any other legends do anything stupid last Saturday?
Oh my God, I have another caller.
Oh, jeez.
Call. Let me see. Let me try to get them on. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
I wish not to talk to the host of the show. I would like to talk to Cujo.
No! What the hell is this? Jake Bishop, I've been trying to reach out to you. You haven't talked to me. What the hell is this?
I asked you to follow directions. You didn't follow it. So now I wish to talk to your other.
I did follow the instructions you looked out for. Was this gentleman, in fact, handcuffed?
Would you like to explain why I don't have my belt anymore?
You didn't do the job. I'm saying it.
Oh, listen. I will gladly stab as much as you can hit him next time I see him.
No, we can act like professionals in a professional environment, I hope.
You sound very professional.
He wants to blame me. Is he going down to a basement? Is he with what is going on tonight?
We having a party at the Roughneck house. I'm about to kidnap the Roughneck myself and throw it in my trunk.
What are you doing to Paul's package?
Why not?
Well, I'm going to kill myself. I'll see you guys.
No. Jake wanted to talk to you, so Dan, go right ahead. I'll take a back seat here for a second.
There's one thing I wanted to know. What is your next move, sir?
My next move? See that giant sword that I carry out to the ring with me?
Yeah.
Heads will roll. Now I got to get back to the party in the Roughneck basement. I don't want to hold you guys up. Continue the show. Deuces.
Thank you for gracing us with your presence, sir.
Well, there you go. Brady, what'd you think of that?
Did he really just threaten to cut off somebody's head?
After this weekend, it could happen.
Our serial killer quotient is
going up. I would be worried if I was you. You know Jake Bishop was already a little unstable. And losing the belt, that obviously is to send him over the edge, dude.
Brady, cut, honestly, wouldn't you want to work with me more than Dean?
I don't want to work with anyone if one of the guys is carrying a sword around. Other than New Jack. I would do commentary with New Jack if he came in.
I was going to say, did anybody, try to cut anybody on Saturday?
Dean, you there?
I'm not answering the thing. The only thing I'll say is that the show was entitled Total Respect.
We the No Limit Soldiers.
Total respect.
And I have nothing but respect for those guys. I thought it was,
yeah. Ask Empire how they feel.
I'd rather.
No. Oh, that's crossing the line. Everything else was fine. But
yeah, I may say the N-word once in a while, New Jack, but I'm not going to say the Empire.
Well, they like me, Brady. I don't have anything to worry about.
Oh, my. Ty and I, last time he was on the show, we rebuilt that bridge of friendship.
Yeah, I was talking in their favor, not against their favor.
Well, no,
all right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean,
crazy weekend. That's let's just leave it.
I don't know what's out there and what isn't, so I don't really feel too compelled to speak about it.
Yeah, just craziness. Craziness all around. So John, your final thoughts on Royal Rumble and Raw, if you're still there.
Yep. All I got to say is about the main event with Rock and Punk was I think this probably has been since 97 when a huge crowd reaction happened against Shawn Michaels winning the belt.
Is that John? Is that John from Rhode Island?
God damn it, Brady!
Oh, yes. God.
Yes, it's John from Rhode Island.
Well, you know what? I introduced you guys, so I feel like it's okay for me to talk to him directly. Is that all right?
Yeah, just don't talk over him, Brady.
Okay, John, for four years, we did in the room without an interruption. It's not my fault that you just discovered us and everything got messed up. It's not my fault that you just started listening, John. I want you to listen. I don't want you to complain every time I have to cancel a show because I don't have a freaking computer. Do you know what hell that is?
I told you.
What?
John, say you're sorry and sing me a song, please.
Did you ever know Brady once dated a hoe right after she gave him a great low blow because he couldn't stop looking at her toe because it was wrapped up in a bow and it was covered up in sparkling dough and the girl's name was none other than Mo.
I love you, John. I forgive you. That was great.
All right, John. Thank you for hanging out with us. You have
John,
made
thank
this...
you for hours and hours of entertainment, sir.
You have made this one of the most memorable episodes. Thank you, John. All right. So.
Thank God for John. Brady, I don't know.
So that was John from Rhode Island. Brady?
I will say, wait, I have one last question for everybody, seriously.
Well, John's gone, so it's just Brady.
No, I meant everybody's still on the line.
It's just Brady.
Well, Chris is here. That's
yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute.
That's so nice.
He's not on a line. He's
on the show, in the room, in the hizzy. Does anybody care that The Rock won the title?
No.
It's a PR move.
Brady?
No, why would I care? I mean, CM Punk had it for more than a year. It's setting up a bigger match. Who cares?
But does anybody care about that bigger match?
The only way you can get me to care about The Rock being the champ is if I had WWE stock.
Mm.
And then I would
care. Well, do you care more about the match because it's for the title than you would have if it was just a straight-up rematch?
I think you got to have something different for the second one.
It just seems so, and I know it's a TV show, guys. I get it, but it just seems so plastic that he's the champ.
You know,
well, it's obvious. It's way contrived. I give you that.
Go ahead, Brady.
Here's what I was thinking. I mean, back at WrestleMania 6, when Warrior beat Hogan, Hogan was supposed to get his win back at WrestleMania 7, and they didn't do the match because of politics. Then at WrestleMania 12, when Shawn beat Bret for the title, Bret was supposed to get his win back at 13, and they didn't do it because of politics. For the first time probably in their history, they've got two guys that are willing to cooperate with each other, and you know, it is only right that Cena gets his win back. That is the right thing to do, because on April 8th, 2013, John Cena is going to be on Raw, and The Rock probably will not.
Hmm. Yeah, true.
Actually, yeah.
I think Paul the Package has a update for us. Whoops, wrong person. Don't talk, whoever this is. There.
They don't know you're on.
No, they would know. Okay, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Paul the Package from New Jersey.
I thought so. What's going on, Paul? Do you have an update for us?
Yeah, well, he's telling me if I tell him that he's my favorite wrestler, he'll let me out, but he's not my favorite wrestler.
So you're going to stay down there, huh?
I'm trying to get out. I don't know what
is
to
it
do, what should I do.
Is it a basement or is it just a concrete floor?
It's just a concrete floor.
I'm sorry.
I'm reminded of the wisdom of the great Kenny Rogers. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
I'm reminded of the great wisdom of Wild Bill. Put the lotion on the skin and put it in the basket.
Yeah.
Paul, my heart goes out to you. Unfortunately.
Wait, Paul, before you hang up, what kind of package is this?
The total package. The whole package.
That's right.
Okay.
Paul, I hope things work out for you, buddy. Okay.
All right.
We lost contact with him.
Let's just stop now.
We did lose contact with him. So.
Let's just quit while we're all ahead here.
So, I'm not sure.
And we still have to talk to the mystery man, right?
Yes. And Justin will be on very soon.
Hold on a second. Does Roughneck own a... Never mind.
It's a trailer park.
They have basements and trailers?
Crawl space, basements, whatever.
There's a concrete floor.
Paul, the package isn't all there. No,
use the whole package, the total package. He killed Elizabeth.
You never had the distinct pleasure of corresponding with Paul the Package.
I kind of see why.
Paul the Package is a great guy. A great guy. Omega, I was going to get to MMA right now, but it's too close. It's just too close. So we'll wait till after.
I see where I lay in the pecking order of this podcast.
Oh, stop.
Yeah,
it.
Under the peck.
under Paul the Package.
Well, I wanted to know exactly what was going on. Brady, you're still there.
I am, sir, yes.
I'm sorry. I wanted to make sure that Paul was okay. He's in Roughneck's crawl
space. I
think
Brady
basement.
Is the only person that's not in Roughneck's basement right now.
Apparently, Jake is there. I don't know what's going on. So,
next time Jake says he wants to talk to me, don't interrupt him.
Anyway.
I don't get very anymore. I don't get a lot of people that want to talk to me, Dean, okay?
Anyway.
All right. Good. Hey, anybody want to buy a... Hey, do you want to give away a DVD?
I don't think anybody's listening in, except for Paul the Package, who somehow still has his... He still has his phone for some reason. The Roughneck's not very smart.
The first person to tweet at DanLaw83, I'll ship him a DVD.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the contest.
That's the Well, you weren't coming up with anything better.
I certainly didn't.
All right. Well, first person to tweet at DanLaw83 gets WWE Attitude on DVD.
I'm going to tweet you right now.
Holy crap. Hold on.
First person not on this show.
I'm going to hang up and do it.
Yeah, no, that doesn't count. Anybody not part of it, screw you, Chris.
Chris won.
Chris,
I win!
Anybody who's not part of the staff of Hell in a Cell or New Moon Rising gets a DVD.
Well, why not?
Or any wrestling company, damn it, God.
So, Dean.
Yes,
Dean, if I can make an announcement, I would like to do web content for New Moon Rising Wrestling, my own show, talking, you know, about what's coming up in New Moon Rising Wrestling, and I would like to air that content. I would like to air that content exclusively on Cliff Light's Facebook page. Would that be okay with you?
You don't want to put it up on YouTube?
No, Cliff Light's Facebook page. It's
okay. I don't think we should even use Vimeo. I think we should just
I'm sorry, guys. I'm only kidding. I'm half kidding. I'm not kidding.
I think we should only use Facebook video.
That would be
amazing. That means only 30 people will see it, and nobody will come. Cujo said that.
Cujo.
Free DVD at DanLaw83.
I'm sure you're going to get tweeted pretty
soon. No, not one person. That. Nobody.
I thought Chris did.
That doesn't count. Not that you don't count, Chris.
I don't count. I get it.
Shut up.
I don't. I'm pecking order. Little Roughneck's basement. Got it.
Oh. You have until 10 o'clock. If I don't get a tweet by 10 o'clock, contest over. We start again when we actually script something.
I'm just looking something up. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, so it's about that time. We're going to get to...
Chris, I'm going to kill you.
What, he tweeted again?
Yes, he did.
He really wants this DVD. I think you should just give it to him. You know what, Brady? I'm going to keep you on for our next guest because it's somebody very special to all our hearts. And somehow I was able to negotiate this deal to get
he's
him
on. He's not mad at you?
No, he's not.
No, I want to stir it. Just bring him on. I want to stir this up.
I know you do, Dan.
Southwest America, land that I love, they beside me, they guide me, through the night be the life of my home. From the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, right before.
Here he is, just getting out of the hospital from one of the most brutal and violent matches in New Moon Rising wrestling history. It is none other than the former, and it pains me to say it, but the former United States champion, Justin America. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh. Justin, come on now.
I just want to say how much the words former rolled right off your tongue, Dean.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, that's what I do. I statement of the obvious, sir.
You would take cheap shots at me, Dan.
No, I was not. I was just saying what Dean was saying.
Kicking a man
Dean,
while he's
Dean,
down.
Dean, me and you are good. Me and you are good.
I did my job. Am I right?
You did, and it was Anthony that didn't do his job.
Anthony. Anthony Rock?
Master Gigante didn't do his job.
He did.
Wasn't it your job to keep him handcuffed?
Let me just say, there was a delivery, and he didn't hold up his end of the deal.
Was the delivery in a white envelope?
I'm not going to say.
Okay. I would have done it for a while.
So, Justin, I know this is a hard times that have been cast upon you. Now, what's your next move? We asked Jake. Apparently, heads are rolling.
He should have cut people's heads off with a big giant sword.
But what's your next move, Justin?
Right now, I'm standing on the cliffs of Dover, meditating, looking inward at what I've been doing and who I've become, and I think it's time for change in the future of Justin America. You know, there's snakes out there, and they're in the grass, and they're trying to get at me. Snakes that I thought were close to me, that I thought trusted in. Dean, we're good, though. We're good. Well, there's other snakes out there that are trying to bite at me.
How are you feeling? I mean, how's your recovery going? You're gonna be at the next show, correct?
What do you care?
I do care.
You've turned
venom
on me. You've turned your venom on me. I've seen what you've said about me.
Okay. Where?
And I've heard what Brady had to say.
Well, Brady's Brady.
Well, speaking of Brady, Brady, do you have a question? Now, be gentle.
I had a question
upset.
That wasn't answered.
You know what? I'm going to try and match Justin America's tone right now. I'm going to be serious. Justin, wasn't it Dean's job to keep Hank Tolan handcuffed to the ropes? How can you say that he did his job?
Because Anthony Rock, was supposed to make sure that Don Juan was taken care of. I believe in the commentary you mentioned, why isn't there a ref? There was a reason for that, and Anthony failed at his job.
So there you go, Brady. Question answered?
I had a question that wasn't answered.
What was your question, Cujo?
How are you feeling, and are you going to come back to the next show?
Obviously, I'm going to be there. Why wouldn't I be there?
Well, I don't know how serious you were hurt, sir.
I'm hurt on the inside due to the snakes that are around me, not Dean, the other ones.
Now, the snakes you're talking about, is that the Me Society, your former cohorts here?
No, they're part of my staff. Part of the guys that I fight for, part of the guys that I negotiated deals for.
So who are the snakes?
They know who they
are. Is it me?
Is it me? Hey, guys, is it me?
You're not even on the radar, Brady. Come on.
Hey, Justin, are you concerned that Jake Bishop said he's going to bring a sword and cut off people's heads in the next show?
No. Not at all.
How are you in pain?
Jake and I are good. We talked about it. We've had our conversations. We've gotten as far as we could get, and I still blame Anthony. I blame others, like LJ. But, you know.
He wasn't even there.
Exactly.
So it's okay.
If LJ didn't fail as a Me Society member, I would have been forced to kick him out.
It's all very logical.
And he would have been able to do his job. I apologize about the wind in my phone. Like I said, I'm on the cliffs of Dover right now.
Brady, a follow-up, perhaps?
No, that's okay. I'm a little emotional right now. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, do you have a grand plan in getting these titles back and getting control back? Or what are you going to do?
Why would I disclose that to you? So you can go and tell everybody else?
We are the number one wrestling podcast out there, and people want to know.
Yes.
That's exactly why I wouldn't tell you that. Why would I tell the number one show, the highest rated show, the show that has the biggest reach, why would I tell them that?
We do have a big reach. Tully Blanchard, mother ever.
Yeah.
They're reaching around all the time.
Yeah. Follow the package.
Oh, boy.
Well, I sincerely don't wish any ill will, and I hope you everything's okay. And I don't know.
Well, Justin, I do have a caller. Are you ready to take calls from listeners?
I believe I can handle that.
Okay, so I'll put the caller through. Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Wop.
Who's there?
His name's Wop.
I take offense to that, sir.
Well, they hung up, so that was all inspiring. I have another caller.
What the fuck?
Exactly. So,
my God, why waste your time?
201.
Crazy quotient for the day.
Yeah. 201, you're on the air. State your name and where you're calling from.
Master Official Anthony Gigante.
Yes!
Oh, great.
Scandal. Scandal I will not be dragged into by Justin America.
Listen, pal. You knew what that package meant. You knew what that was there for, and we thought you were on the board, but you weren't.
Listen, the Me Society has been so disheveled for so long, you must have sent your package to the wrong house, because there's no way I would ever get involved with anybody as corrupt and vile as the Me Society.
Corrupt and vile, that's...
putting it mildly.
Stop it.
Exactly, Dan Law.
632 Sherman Way, right?
Who's Dan Law? I don't know who that is.
Sorry, Cujo.
Thank you.
632 Sherman Way, right?
What?
That's Anthony's house, right? 632 Sherman Way, right?
I thought it was 21 Jackson Street.
Exactly, 21 Jackson Street.
So you're saying, Anthony, that you had nothing to do with this. There was no package that you received. There was absolutely – you're not involved in this.
The New Moon Rising Wrestling
Liar.
People have always known that I was very much against the Me Society possibly being in
Liar.
Control.
So basically,
childish. Just
basically
childish.
What he's saying was that he purposely threw the match. That's what his words were. He threw that match on purpose.
I wasn't even out there, as you pointed out. How could I have thrown the match?
He was looking for bolt cutters.
He is a master at officiating, and he's a master at lies. Don't believe him.
I am photographing evidence of me chastising Don Warren after the match for his unnecessary behavior. But I'm still glad that someone did something because Dean was getting involved where he shouldn't have been as well.
Oh, stop.
Well, for the chastising of Don Warren, I commend you. He deserves it. He's another reason why we failed.
He's a maverick. I've said it before. He takes too many chances with the company, and he shouldn't be in control, or at least he shouldn't be the voice of those in control.
Hey, at least the lights
Brady,
didn't Brady shut
was
off
just
last
commenting
year.
About his chances that he's taken with the company as well. So you guys probably have a good friendship.
He should talk to somebody about his website, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure who runs the website, but, you know, they really haven't gone to school for computer design.
What's that all about? Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Master Official, Margarine Hat, buddy.
Margarine Hat, my friend.
Thank you.
Now, Master Official.
Yes, sir.
I do have a question. Now, we're gonna go a little back in this history books here. How did it feel getting squashed like a little bug by Ron Starr? Please tell us in grim detail what that was like.
You know, at first...
Probably the same way that it felt for my dreams and hopes to be squashed by stupid Tank Tolan and Mike Reed.
Okay, honey. Mommy and Dad are talking now.
Oh. Wow. I don't
have to deal with this.
Well, see, what happened was I was a bit dazed because the Me Society, being as corrupt as they were, had LJ Cruz drag me from the ring and then kick me in the back of the skull. And as I'm coming through, I see what appears to be the Kool-Aid man landing on me from 15 feet above.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Corrupt. What corrupt actions have we ever used?
You hijacked that show.
We made it better.
Yeah,
we'll tell you.
Oh, it was a glorious day.
glorious. Glorious for everyone except for the people who worked for New Moon Rising Wrestling.
I don't know about all that.
That was our Pearl Harbor day.
Pearl Harbor? Come on now.
At least
that's racist.
At least the Hindu represent. That's racist. What the fuck? I'm officially putting in my resignation.
It was something, and I don't know if it was racist or not, but Mr. Official, it's always it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and thanks for all your support as well.
Dean, as much as I agree with directions at that event, you put on a hell of a show, and I'm always a listener.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. And Dan Law's.
Oh!
I finally, it was there. I was on the grasp of greatness, and you took it from me.
Well, there you go. Sorry about that.
Technical difficulty.
I didn't hang up. It just cut off.
No, yeah. It was cut off. Sorry about that. So, Justin.
Yes.
You're not gonna tell us your plans. Now, is there possibly a way that I could have a sit-down interview with you to go over these past couple of months with you? After the show, of course, because your mindset now is on retaliation.
Yes. I don't even know where to begin, honestly. The reason I haven't answered that question is because I refuse to answer questions from Cujo. But since you ask it, I'll tell you the truth.
Well, fine, I'll leave.
Good.
Farewell.
Dean, my plans are simple. Retaliation is first. It's the first step. I'm going to go into retaliation. I'm going to wind up that powerful fist of mine. I'm going to punch Mike Reed in the mouth, and I'm going to get my United States Championship back.
You did punch him in the mouth. He was out of the match for at least 3 minutes.
Absolutely. Second thing I'm going to do, with my United States Championship, I'm going to challenge that idiot Tank Tolan, defeat him, because he's not going to be able to use you as a weapon against me, and then prove to Jake Bishop that the real champion in the Me Society is me.
No. Sounds like a little tension. Now, I believe I know who this is. I'm going to put him on. I apologize beforehand. American Roughneck, how you doing?
What's going on? Stop crying, Justin. Get over it.
Hey, Dean.
Yes, sir.
I honestly, in my soul, I feel as if I adopted 90 puppies and then someone set them on fire. Now you bring him on? Thank you. Thanks for rubbing salt in the wounds.
Well,
boo-hoo. Stop whining. Get over it. You're not going to do anything. There's nothing you can do. You are selfless.
I don't need a championship title to prove that I can beat you up, pal. I've already done it before. Say
not
hello to
Oxygen
Tank.
Not by yourself, Junior. Not by yourself. Bring it anytime you want.
Thank God, Roughneck's here to save the show.
You guys lost a building over that match you had. I mean, come on, let's be honest. You guys were never welcomed back to that building after the massive struggle you guys had.
That's because he broke their fork.
In your head.
In your head. Jinx. Dean Dixon.
Can you say my name real for the time? Three fast?
No, because we don't think on the same brainwave length.
Oh, yeah. That was good. I'll give you, 2 points for that.
What is it with points tonight, Dan?
I'm on a point system in life.
Yeah. Okay. So, Roughneck, you came on here, you're rubbing salt in the wounds. What else do you got to say, Dan?
Thank you. By the way, thank you for coming on and saving this, Roughneck.
Oh, no problem, except for I got this one major problem. I got this creepy dude came in my house. Every time I try to kick him out, he keeps locking himself in my freaking basement. Freaking hell.
What is he? He keeps saying his name is Paul the Package. He's wearing pants, right?
I hope so, because every time I try to kick, I'm like, yo, dude, get out of my house. He slams the door and I hear it lock.
But what do you say to the rumors that Dean says you live in a trailer?
I was just about to ask that. How do you lock a basement of a trailer?
We got a little hatch right in the kitchen. It goes up. You've never seen that before. It's got a little pull ring. You know, and it keeps popping up like freaking Oscar the Grouch in my freaking basement. If he pops one of my tires, I'm going to get pissed.
Trash.
Oh, God. Roughneck, you know, it was kind of a pleasure to have you here.
It's always a pleasure, Roughneck.
You guys have a nice night. I got to figure out what to do with this dude.
Just shoot him. He's in the basement, and they'll never find him.
Oh, boy.
It's not technically a basement. If he pops one of my tires and kicks out my ladder,
just hang up on
him.
Well, you know what? Just burn it down, make it look like an accident. I know people that can make it look like an accident.
He's gone.
Why are you listening to him? Me Society does not run the show.
They should. You know how close we were? Have you ever been that close to a dream? It's within your grasp.
Yeah, then you hung up on him.
Your dream is the American Roughneck. You know what?
Anthony was going to say something nice about me. You hung up.
You know, I have Paul the Package again. Let's get an update from
good.
Him.
Let's fiddle this.
Paul the Package, you're back. How are you?
I've been better. He's got me tied to a chair now.
Now, are you making this all up? We just had Roughneck on, and he said you won't leave his house.
Well, I told him that who my favorite wrestler was again, and now I'm tied to a chair.
Who is your favorite wrestler?
Right now it's Robert Knight.
See, I'm trying to help you to get out of there.
It's not working. Paul, we'll check back in with you a little bit later.
Paul, you sound like an intelligent man. Good luck with the neck.
Right, so there was Paul the Package. Justin, wrap up this whole segment. I mean, it's... Well, let me see. Brady, do you have anything else for Justin?
Brady's still on?
Yeah.
Oh, let's hear
I'm here. I'm here. I've been taking it all in. So, I mean, is there going to be a Me Society after this show, Justin?
Why wouldn't there be, Pex? Just explain to me, why wouldn't there be?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You've got Jake Bishop talking about heads rolling, and he said it wasn't Dean Dixon, so I don't know.
Obviously, it's Tank Tolan. Obviously, it's Fusion DS. Obviously, it's that dummy Mike Reed.
Mm.
He's the upgrade. Watch it.
He has an upgrade.
Yeah,
well,
I'll upgrade into my fist.
Yes.
I saw that, actually.
So, Justin, wrap this all up. Your feelings, it's been a little disappointing, but it's got to get better.
I'm sorry I haven't been able to entertain like I usually can. I'm a little off my game, like I said. I'm meditating on the cliffs of Dover. I have...
Jesus Christ.
He has nothing to do with this. I have... deep,
on contrary.
deep feelings of sadness, of regret, of... I fought past the denial. I'm trying to concentrate and make it into something positive, you know? Like, maybe I'll start crocheting or become a comedian or something. I'm just going to tell you that it's going to be something good.
Justin,
I'm going to turn away from this song.
Seriously, you should talk about starting a podcast and never do it.
I already did that once.
Oh, okay.
Justin, better days have to be ahead, and it's always a pleasure, sir.
I know this time it wasn't, and I apologize to Omega for wasting his time tonight.
What about me, Justin?
How would I apologize to you?
It was a pleasure for me, Justin.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Hey.
Always
I'm
a pleasure.
I'm sure it was.
Everybody. Yeah. Oops, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just at a loss of words. That's all. You know, I feel like Steven Seagal after one of his movies, and they tell him, "No, you didn't win the Oscar."
That's good. I think we should leave it at that.
Oh, where's America? When did I love? Stay beside me, take my hand. Through the night, be the life of my home. From the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, right before.
I don't know how I feel.
It sounds like the Me Society is in serious trouble, Dean.
Well, to see a man so broken, so...
I really felt bad for him.
I did, too.
I mean, he really sounds devastated. And combine that with how Jake sounded, I'm kind of nervous how next month is going to end.
Well, Omega, it's about that time. We're going to talk about UFC on Fox 6.
Alrighty.
All right. So UFC on Fox was, of course, Saturday. And how'd you feel about it?
I thought it was a good card overall.
Nothing changes as far as the championship in the main event. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, of course, retained his title over John Dodson. Unanimous decision.
Yes, he looked the part of the champion in that fight. He weathered the early storm that John Dodson had, and made his adjustments and basically counterpointed his way to a victory. You know, used his speed to effectively dodge and avoid takedowns and attacks, and use his wrestling to grind out the victory. You know, wasn't a devastating knockout. It wasn't a submission, but that's kind of Mighty Mouse's style. He just kind of points out. He points his opponent and gets the victory with his speed and his quickness. And he looked very, very, very good. And again, I talked about it last week. He's ever improving, and I think he's only going to get better.
All right. So what about the co-main event? We had, of course, Rampage Jackson's gone from the UFC after this, losing
decisively.
Yeah, it looks like it was 30-27, 30-27,
29-28. Yeah, I don't even know how he got around, honestly. I don't, on that one judge's scorecard. I mean, I thought Glover Teixeira controlled that fight all the way. Took Rampage down at will. Was ground and pounding him. Was winning on the feet, too. I mean, Rampage didn't have anything, really. He looked pretty gassed in the second round. He caught his second wind a little bit in the third round, but even then, really wasn't able to generate anything resembling a credible offense, and certainly not enough to take out a guy like Teixeira. It's kind of a sad end to a chapter of the light heavyweight division. You know, and to Pride almost as well. Quinton Jackson being one of the last Pride guys to really come over to UFC, and now he's gone, and where will he go from here? I don't know. Is his price tag too heavy for Bellator? And even if he does go to Bellator, is he just going to fight, no-name guys who aren't very impressive and maybe win a couple fights just because he's fighting tomato cans. I don't know. It was kind of sad.
Yeah, I don't know. Rampage Jackson, of course, his early UFC career was really good, and for it to go out like it did, consecutive losses, one to Bader and one to Texeria. I don't know. So.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. He wanted out, and he didn't really want to come to fighting. You know, in a lot of ways, the sport has passed him by. He never really evolved.
Never really
developed the mixed part of mixed martial arts. He got by for a long time on his strength, his power, and his ability to slam an opponent into oblivion. And it's kind of gone. So.
Yeah. And another main card fight was, of course, Anthony Pettis soundly defeating Donald Cerrone. Now, Cerrone, his last four fights, he's 2-2. I'm not sure what this means for him. Perhaps he can't.
There is no shame in losing Anthony Pettis.
Well, sure, but what's this mean for his career, though? I mean, losing to Nate Diaz at UFC 141 and now Anthony Pettis in a pretty big fight.
Yeah, he needs to change up his game somehow. He's a very slow starter, and he's just not going to be able to get by the elite level guys by being a slow starter. Guys like Pettis are going to pick him apart early and put him out, or get up so far ahead in the scorecards that he can't recover. You know, Cerrone is always good for a fight. He's always good. He's always going to come prepared. He's a very good fighter. He's very talented. I don't see him going anywhere. As I said, there's really no shame in losing to Anthony Pettis. That being said, you know, unless he can come up, he needs to come up with a way to change his game somewhat. If he really expects to get past this elite lightweight that has thus far eluded him, and if he's ever going to hope to sniff a title shot in the UFC.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, the last main card fight was Ricardo Lamas defeating Koch. TKO.
Yeah, TKO, brutal second round.
The blood. Oh.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Open him up like nothing.
Yeah, on network TV, I cringed a little bit. Realistically, it's not going to impact the UFC Fox relationship at all. But
they have to know going in that this could happen.
Oh, they absolutely know it happens, but you know, they expect a little blood, and it kind of go, you know, not to that extent, not the utter destruction that was that fight.
Oh, true.
Koch just came off of off too long a layoff. Probably was too much of a step up in competition for him coming off that layoff. The fact that we were talking about Koch getting a title shot against Jose Aldo at one time, that's a little scary given that fight. We'll see if he recovers. I mean, he's still got skills and he's still very young, so we'll see.
And two fights I wanted to bring up that were on the undercard. Clay Guida winning his debut in a new division, split decision, 28-29, 30-27, and 29-28. How'd you feel about that?
Honestly, I wasn't impressed. I was not impressed at all. He really just won by just moving around. He moved more than Hioki. He didn't really land that much damage, didn't really get much going when it was on the ground. He didn't really score points. I thought Hioki was probably more aggressive, was going for submissions. But granted, he was on his back, but he was the more active fighter on the ground. And really, I thought he should have won because he was putting on more aggressive offense.
Yeah.
You know, Guida hasn't changed his style. The only thing he's done is drop down in weight, and I don't really think that is really gonna cut it. It hasn't cut it. Didn't cut it in the lightweight division. I don't think it's gonna cut it against faster guys in the featherweight division. I was very disappointed in the fight. Honestly, I hoped Guida would be better and more powerful and more aggressive, do more damage, and that really didn't happen.
And Bader picking up a very quick win by submission over the janitor. Guillotine choke, round one.
Vladimir Matyushenko, he's 42.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it, best days are behind him. He was never really that great. Good win for Bader.
He looks every day 42, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. I mean, this is a blue collar, grinded out fighter.
Yeah.
And he, to your point, he looks every bit of it. Bader makes quick work of him. And you know, a good win for Bader. Bader needed a win like this to reestablish his reputation in the division. And now he goes back up to upper level gatekeeper type fights. And we'll see if he can string some good wins together. Maybe he gets his shot. But he struggled as he moves up that ladder. Once he gets to that one step below the John Joneses, he seems to cave somehow. So we'll see. He's got to figure something out, but he's always going to be he's still a very good light heavyweight, and he's still a very good fighter and a very dangerous fighter.
I agree with that. Of course, we're going to move on right now to our next guest. We have the Mystery Men. And this is, I've been looking forward to this. I saw these guys at the Blank Canvas art show, the wrestling art show, and quite an impressive set until that devious O'Fitty and the Cobra got him off stage so he could do his thing. But we'll get into that. We'll get into their music right after this. Joined by El Diablo. He is the drummer of the band Mystery Men. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing tremendous, Mr. Dean Dixon.
All right. You're also joined by Dan Colachico and Omega Squad. Chris Green is here.
What up, Dan? Omega Squad?
Yo.
Hey.
All right. Now, I wanted to get into your music. It's a very... very eclectic style. I'd call it funk rock. Would you agree with that, sir?
I would agree with that, Dean. I would definitely agree with that. We do the funk. We do the rock. It's improvisation. Lots of communication going on stage. Lots of communication going on with our souls amongst each other as we express ourselves musically. But before we get into all of this, if I could be serious for a minute.
Yes?
Yeah.
I would like to send out prayers and thanks to the family and friends of Miss Sarah Maturis, who was a wonderful person who has moved on to a new plane of existence, and we want to send out wishes and prayers and vibes to all of those people. Now, what I want to say about the lucha rock and the funk is that we bring it every time, and we entertain like no other band you will ever see anywhere on planet Earth, Jupiter, Mars, the Sun. We rule the Grimlock system, and that's the way it is.
All right.
Now, what made you try this different approach to music? Because you're different than anything else out there. What made you want to try this approach to it?
I got annoyed with what I was seeing everywhere else. It's all the same. Everyone else is trying to emulate another band that has come before them. You go see a band, and they're a blend of this band and this band and this band. There's nothing original going on there. It's if you take a little bit of Tool and a little bit of Megadeth, you have this band, and that's all they're trying to be. Or you take a little bit of the Allman Brothers and a little bit of Fish, and you have this pseudo hippie, crunchy granola jam, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I got so disappointed with seeing these bands that say that they improvise, and I put that into the proverbial quotation marks, who say that they improvise when they really practice 12 hours a week sculpting these contrived jams where everyone knows what's going on, and then they go on stage and try to fool the people into thinking they created it on the spot when they really harvested and woodshedded and grinded on that same exact style of music they're trying to play. We do something completely different from that. We get on stage, we know what we're going to do, we know how it's going to go, but we don't tell anybody about it. We just do it. And what happens, happens. Every show's a snowflake, no two are the same.
I love it.
Yeah, awesome. No kidding. Madness. That's awesome.
So you come out on stage, and you guys come out, you have masks on, luchador masks on. What's the reason for those?
It's all about doing something a little bit extra. You go see a band, it's three dudes. We're a rock trio, by the way, for anybody who's listening, who's painting the picture. I'm painting this like radio, as if you're not staring at your little computer screens or your phones or anything else. Dig it, brother. Ooh, yeah, what I'm talking about is painting theater of the mind, is what I'm saying. Radio, yeah. So what I'm saying, we are a trio. I play drums as well as the creative director. You have our bass player, who's from Japan, speaks fluent Japanese. Amazing five string. If you put Les Claypool into a blender with a bunch of other nasty bass players that I can't name right now off the top of my head, you have my bass player, who speaks fluent Japanese, by the way. It's amazing. And then you have our lead singer, who's also our guitar player, who shreds. And by the way, for this is an inside pulling back the fourth corner, right? The fourth wall, right? Everybody loves when people say that.
Mm-hmm.
His shoot name, I'm giving you away. This is a solid scoop right here for Hell in a Cell Radio. His shoot name. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Who's ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
We're ready.
Yeah.
We're all ready. All right. Our lead singer's shoot name, Kevin Sullivan. That's right. The Taskmaster. The Boston Brawler. The leader of the Faces of Fear. Kevin Sullivan. Shoot.
That's awesome. You couldn't get any better than that.
But sometimes he likes to we play tribute to all of the favorites and the legends. Sometimes we change it up. We'll be La Parca, or we'll be the Ultimo Dragon. We'll be Rey Mysterio. We'll be Jushin Thunder Liger. Sometimes we'll delve into the Chikara world of characters. So plenty of we use different masks as different colors of paint and texture that we add a little something extra on top of our band crushing it like no other band has ever been seen before.
What? When? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I wasn't sure. When did you want to throw wrestling into the music world like this?
It's
and
something,
why?
It's never been done. Nobody else does it. Outside of doing this whole mask thing, other people in the band have other projects that do other things and have been veterans of the scene, if you will.
Yeah.
So it was time to take the two things that needed, that have always been together since the 80s. You look at the album of the wrestling album, the first one that ever came out, Land of a Thousand Dances on it. Oh, yeah, who remembers that one?
I remember, yeah.
Do your research. Check out that album cover. You have a dude behind the drum set. His name's Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff, and he's flexing, right?
Yeah.
And it looks like he's not wearing pants behind the drum set. It's crazy. Rock and wrestling has always been and will always be blended together. How many times you've been to indie shows and there's a metal band, indie shows with guys in black shirts who want to watch wrestling with a metal band on the other side playing theme songs? Who's seen it?
I've seen it. Yeah, it's happened. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. See, we do the metal, we do the rocking thing, but we also like to paint pictures. Sometimes we'll work as heels, and sometimes we will work as baby faces. It depends on the scene. It depends on the evening. It depends on the vibe. It depends on how it is we're feeling and what kind of event it is we're producing.
I like it. Now, what I want to do right now is get to one of your songs.
And
this one is called Keep My Heat On, something I can relate to.
Because it's cold outside.
Yes, it is. We'll talk to you on the other side. This is about 3.5 minutes.
Enjoy. We'll be right back.
Amazing. That was the Mystery Man with Keep the Heat On here on Hell in a Cell. We're on the line now with El Diablo, the drummer. I have a drummer question, sir.
Oh, yeah, bring it on.
Who were you growing up listening to, and what are your influences in the drum?
Okay, let's see. Numerous guys, lots of guys. You got Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction, early album Nothing Shocking with the two naked broads on it. Two thumbs up.
Yeah.
You got, definitely check that album out. It's fantastic from beginning to end. You got, Chad Sexton from 311. I hear a lot of his stuff going on, but in what I got going on, he's always a big influence. He was involved with a lot of marching band drums with lots of crazy snare drums and all that kinds of stuff. And that's, if you're into that stuff, it's a good time. But most influential, I'd have to say, would be he's a guy named Billy Martin. He's a jazz cat in a band called Medeski, Martin, and Wood. Not related to the former Yankee.
Not that Billy Martin.
Yes. Plug for them, mmw.net. Check out everything they do because they're amazing.
No, I was just saying, first time hearing the song the full way through, and the first thing I noticed as a drummer, I was like, damn good. That's great stuff.
I'm glad you guys played that song because in that song, I actually played the most metal fill ever of all time.
Yeah.
That I didn't even realize I did until I listened back to it later.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I heard that fill and I was like, wow, that sounds like something that Igor Cavalera of Sepultura would do.
Damn.
So you're saying when you go out there, you kind of have an idea, but then it just kind of all flows. The three of you just get together, and it all just kind of flows together.
With all due respect, the three of us are all, as they say, ballers on their respective instruments. And when we are all in the zone, so to speak, is when the magic truly happens, which is a song that's going to be on our upcoming album entitled Card Subject to Change, which should be released. We're in a springtime. But I don't want to put a definite date on it. You know what I'm saying? It'll be coming out soon. But the true business of when all of this madness goes down, the next time it goes down, is going to be Thursday night, February 21st. All roads lead to the Wonder Bar in Asbury Park, New Jersey, presented by the popbreak.com. It's the Shipbreak at the Shore Showcase.
Oh, wow.
9 p.m., $5. You get there by 9 p.m., I guarantee you will hear every note of the Mystery Man.
Well, speaking of notes, we got a few more because we're going to play another one. And I think it's going to be, let's see, Set Your Phasers to Miles Davis. I love it.
Ah, yes. This one was written by our bass player who speaks fluent Japanese. For the shows where we don't, where it's like a non-wrestling audience that we play to.
Yeah.
I name him Akira Tazawa, just because it's fun to say, and it's a nod to the great Japanese talent under the Dragon Gate and Evolve banner.
All right, so this is Set Your Phasers to Miles Davis with the Mystery Men. We'll be back on the other side.
I want to introduce to you, from a very, very far away land, on the other side of the planet,
our Japanese bass player
from Yakamoto, Japan. Please put your hands together for Mr. Akira Tazawa.
Because he's awesome.
This song is called Set Your Phaser to Miles Davis.
Miles Davis. Oh, Miles Davis. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for letting us shower you with golden showers of phaser.
Awesome. That's the mystery man with Set Your Phasers to Miles Davis. El Diablo, another question.
Go ahead.
No, man, go.
I was going to say, if you thought that sounded like a circus, you should actually see the circus in person. You can check out all our clips at youtube.com/TheMysteryMen with the number one. The Mystery Men 1. You'll see it all. We got promos. We got videos. We got full shows. Check it out.
I mean, and the next question kind of has to do with that. I mean, in a band like this, what's the writing process like? Does it come to you pretty quickly, or is it like days before you got something that works?
No way, man. We got magic flowing out of our fingertips every time we set up a stuff. Are you kidding me? We have material for days. We have piles of discs nobody ever heard of before. Practices on top of practices on top of other practices. We record everything. Every time we get together, always be recording. Always, always, always.
Awesome.
Did you see that Tenacious D skit where they argued over snapping the fingers when they were recording and he didn't get it right? He was like, KG, you gotta record.
All right, now, you did bring up the YouTube. Is there any place else that people can follow you and get into this great band?
We got a SoundCloud where you can hear all the tunes, / The Mystery Men, straight up. You can follow us on the tweet thing at The Mystery Men, capital T-E-M-M, right? The Mystery Men, straight up. You'll see us. And you can always do the Facebook thing, which is Like The Mystery Men. Get it? It's facebook.com/likethemysterymen. You'll find us.
I like that.
That's our like page. We kind of suck at the like page. We try to get better at it, but... there's a person known as Meister Ryman who acts as a person, and so he sort of works out the whole. So Facebook sucks. We hate Facebook. I'm just saying, it's there. We use it. We have to. Whatever. We're Twitter. Do the Twitter thing. The mystery.
Can I ask?
SoundCloud's where the music is at. Then that's what's more important than anything. It's the music. Other than social network garbage.
Can I ask one last question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go for it.
How hard is it to drum in the Lucha Mats, dude?
No, that's awesome. I feel like I'm at home. Here's a classic one, right? The three of us set up one time sans masks, right? And said we were another band and played covers, right? Yeah. And then we were like, we did an hour and a half of covers. And we took a break and we were like, all right, you guys, thank you. Have a good night. Stay tuned for the Mystery Men. Went out back, got tuned up, you know what I'm saying? And then we got geared up, you know what I'm saying? And then we went back into the same place, picked up the same stuff, and then just did our original stuff as the Mystery Men.
That's
great.
How long was that show? How many hours you play?
It was like a 3-hour bar gig. You know, you go see a band at a bar, they play for like 3 hours.
No way.
One time it was amazing. Here's a shout out for all the old school wrestling marks. Around Memorial Day last year, I got a bar. Listen to this. I convinced them to give me an entire night, right? That's usually for three bands. And I booked two of my other bands, right? Talked them into getting masks. We all set up our gear on stage and just had rotating friends of bands playing music as luchadors for like 3.5 hours. And we called it the Great American Mystery Bash.
Nice.
Great.
There's 45 seconds of dark, awful sounding audio that will blow up your speakers if you have it too loud, if you listen to it. But if you check out the bad cell phone awful video for 45 seconds, you will witness only 45 seconds of what was the madness evening that a bunch of people saw and were like, what the hell is this? And that's what I like to do to people. That's what I like to do. I grab them by the throat and I flip them on their head and I say, this is different and you're going to like it.
I love it. Speaking of something that's different, we have another song, and this is called Blood Will Flow. This is going to be for the podcast only. The live stream is ending right about now. So this is, if you want to hear it in its entirety, make sure you listen to the podcast. And here we go. So we'll talk on the other side and say our goodbyes.
Holler at us, people. Talk break Thursday night. Asbury Park. Come see us.
ladies and germs, we are the mystery men.
The mystery men. Wow. Blood will flow. Awesome. What's the next show you guys got again?
The next show we are rocking is Thursday night, February 21st. All roads lead to the Wonder Bar in Asbury Park, New Jersey. It's the pop-break.com Shipwrecked at the Shore Showcase. $5. Show starts at 9 p.m. And if you show up by that point, I guarantee you, you will hear every note of the Mystery Men. And quick side note, that show is 21 and up only. It is an alcoholic establishment.
Okay, yeah.
Gotcha. Just throwing it out there. I don't want anybody to show up and be bummed they can't get there because the man says they can't. You know what I'm saying?
I wish
anybody could come to my show.
It sounds awesome. I can't wait to get one of these shows, man.
Thank you, my friend. Enjoy. And be on the look for the album because the album's going to be fantastic, which is coming out soon.
Yeah, anytime you want to get back on here, talk about the band, any upcoming dates, the album when it releases, just hit me up. You have my email, so.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on. You guys are done? You want to talk some raffling or what? What's the deal? You guys, what do you say? I'm good.
Well,
how'd
you feel about the Royal Rumble? We asked everybody that tonight.
You know what? Here you go. Straight honesty. Did not watch a second of it. I read about it on Twitter and then laughed my ass off because everybody got worked into watching the show and maybe they'll do it right and hopefully we'll see something good. And at the end of the day, what'd you get? You got the same shit they always give you, which is friggin' stupid Rock, stupid Cena, whoopity-doo, same shit. You knew it was coming. It was, how are they going to get there? You know what I'm saying? Whatever.
You knew it was coming.
You knew. You didn't want to say it was coming. You didn't want to put the vibes out there and say it was coming, but you knew it was coming. You didn't want to say it. They rubbed you down the path of watching a show and it wasn't all that great. Props to Jericho, straight up Canada. We're not from Canada, but we give it up to every Canadian that's ever come out of Canada to wrestle because they all kick ass.
I'll tell you, he's right about the work thing because that's the first pay-per-view I bought since WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
First pay-per-view I bought in 4 years.
Wow. Well, there you go. It was the Rumble, man. And you just wanted to see it so bad. And on top of that, I do actually want to go back and watch the Punk Rock match, like, so I can see the match. You know what I'm saying?
It was a good match, man.
You know. I want to watch that and just sort of get into it. But, I mean, Punk is so the only thing worth watching on a show. Punk and Cesaro.
Yeah,
but as far as, like, the main event players, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I'm of the impression that Randy Orton is straight unwatchable, and I've had that opinion since Jump Street. But everybody, from the smarks to the non-smarks, to everybody wants to, like, worship the dude. To the boys love him too. And I'm just like, I don't get it. I'm the only guy on the planet that doesn't get anything that guy does.
And on top of that, everybody remember he went AWOL, you know?
Right, yeah. Like nobody, like everybody knows, like he's toiling away because they don't want to push him because they know he's going to, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to throw it out there, but I don't see, like, the life being kind to him when he's out the spotlight. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be accusatory. I pray that doesn't happen because we don't need any more negativity around the business. We want to spend positivity about the business. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the positive side of things. I try to be anyway.
I certainly agree. But what's your Twitter again, just for the people out there?
It's at the Mystery Men, and it's capital T, capital M, capital M. You'll find us.
All right, I love it.
You'll see the Ultimo Dragon singing on the Stone Pony stage where we rock.
Yeah, I mean, all those tracks were from that Stone Pony show, so kudos.
It's a magical place. It's a magical place where you can feel the energy of the history of the musician that goes in there. And shout out. Great story segue. Bam Bam Bigelow used to be a bouncer there. Shoot, for real.
Yeah.
Back in, like, the mid, like, 90s, I guess.
Yeah.
When he was out for a little while. And they have a 3-plaque tribute to him over in the cafe when you want to go get a snack or something. And it's 2 8x10s of him, like the standard 8x10, but the middle one is him dropping none other than Glenn Gilberti, Mr. Disco Inferno, in the middle of a Nitro map. Like when they had that stupid Nitro thing in the middle of the map, and they're all signed, and it's like a triple clap going vertically, and it's really dope, man. It's really, really cool. And it's a good shout out to Bam Bam Bigelow.
That's not Wolfpack Disco Inferno, is it?
I don't know, actually. It
is.
Could be.
Yeah, it
could be, because it was late. It was definitely during that late era where they had to put the, like, NASCAR-sized, you know, Nitro logos if you didn't know what show you were watching after 3.5 years.
That's Wolfpack Disco. Yeah, great.
Yeah, yeah. The timing sounds right for it to be Wolfpack Disco, yeah.
All right. So this was probably my most enjoyable interview. Thank you so much, El Diablo, for coming on tonight.
And thank you and the crew for having us all on. I really, really appreciate it. And then when I say I speak on behalf of all of us. We're all fans. We're all vibes. We want to make sure that, you know, positivity about the business. Sometimes they unleash the positivity through being Mr. El Diablo and getting crazy and getting heat and bashing people. But sometimes you want to go out, put a positive spin on things and just want to have a good time and have everybody be into what you're doing and have everybody go home entertained. And, you know, sometimes you want to send the crowds home happy. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I certainly do. But again, thank you. And we'll talk again.
Peace out, fellas. Thank you guys for having us on. The Mystery Men. Appreciate it. Check it out.
All right. So that was El Diablo. We'll be back on the other side. Right, so that was the Mystery Men. Check
good
them out on Twitter. Check them out on YouTube so you can see the live madness there. My goodness.
YouTube.com/TheMysteryMen #1.
That's right. I'm telling you.
Good stuff.
Fantastic.
It really is. And like I said, so I'm at the Blank Canvas Art Show there in Philly the weekend of Under the Mask for Chikara. Great band. Hopefully they get a little exposure.
We got to talk to them about some stuff.
I think so.
I really do think so.
Talk to people who will talk to people.
Who get things done.
Have their people call your people.
Yeah.
That's right.
Who's our people?
I didn't know we had people. We have people?
We have Dan.
We do have Dan.
Thank you.
We also have Omega Squad and Omega. It's time for part two.
Part two!
Really?
Why not?
We have to have this music.
I won't do it without the music.
It's really kind of a letdown for the Mystery Men.
All right, we already talked about UFC on Fox. That was, of course, the previous weekend. Coming up this weekend, we have yet another pay-per-view. It's UFC 156. Guys, I'm telling you, it's going to be a good one. Now, it's headlined by Jose Aldo taking on Frankie Edgar for the featherweight title.
Yes.
How do you feel about it? I mean, this is the debut for Frankie Edgar at featherweight. Jose Aldo has been very dominating. He's 3-0 in UFC at this point. 21-1 in MMA.
It's a very intriguing matchup to me because you have a guy in Frankie Edgar who was just hard to beat. Just a guy who just has no quit in him. very fast, very strong for a lightweight. When he was a lightweight, dropping down to featherweight now, where you would think his strength is going to serve him even better. Not going to get pushed around by the Gray Maynards of the world at featherweight. Jose Aldo was a very, very dominant champion, a very dynamic striker, got a lot of stuff in his arsenal. He's been off for a long time, coming off of injuries.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't seen him in at least a year, over a year. Is he going to have to fight the ring rust? And he's not going to be catching a guy who's stepping into a big fight for the first time. This is Frankie Edgar defending his title numerous times, numerous big fights, very comfortable with five-round fights. You're not gonna out-cardio him.
Exactly. No intimidation whatsoever. We have seen him go five rounds. This is nothing new to Frankie Edgar. I think Aldo might be in trouble, but then again, Aldo is very dominating as well. So
yeah. And, you know, we've seen lesser strikers like Gray Maynard and Benson Henderson kind of take Frankie early before he gets in his rhythm.
Yeah. I mean, Maynard almost won the first fight in the first round.
Right, and it's only the incredible resilience of Edgar that he survived that fight and got the draw.
Yeah.
You know, I really, this is as close to a pick'em fight as I can see, because realistically, Aldo's got a lot of things stacked against him in this fight, coming off a long layoff,
yeah.
Fighting a guy who's that tough, you know. There, either way this fight ends up, I wouldn't be surprised how it ends up. If it goes five rounds with a decision for Frankie Edgar, which I think it will, no surprise there. If Aldo knocks Frankie out in the first round, no surprise there either.
Yeah.
You know, and it could go to this, even if it goes to decision, I can see Aldo outpointing Edgar. There's so many different ways this fight could go down. It's really going to be intriguing to watch.
Well, of course, Edgar's strength is his wrestling. I would say, and Aldo has a very good defense to that. So
Aldo has very, very good takedown defense, and he's not going to get bullied up against the fence.
No, not at all. Not
so,
at all.
But you know, Frankie's got great wrestling, and he's really good movement. Once he gets going, he's very hard to hit, and he can get some stuff together and hit you from different angles. We'll see. I think this is a great fight on paper. I'm very excited to see this one.
Now, the co-main event is no slouch either. We have the return of Rashad Evans, 17-2-1. He does have that draw on his record, taking on Little Nog. So I think this – now, Little Nog
is – Big Nog.
Oh, this is Big Nog?
This is Big Nog, isn't it?
I thought it was Little Nog.
It's Minotauro.
No, it's not Minotauro. It's Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. Unless,
no.
Yeah.
No. It's Big Nog. It's Rogério.
Is it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's not Big Nog.
It's Big Nog.
No.
Go five.
I'm looking it up right now. But talk about...
Either way...
He's on dial-up, so you got a while.
Yeah.
I'm not on dial-up, you jerk.
No. Yeah. Well, either way, you got an elite heavyweight fighter in Rashad Evans. Taking on a guy who is who is past his prime. He's won some fights. He's had.
It's Little Nog. Come on, because Big Nog would have to go down to a different division and everything like that. This is Little Nog. I just looked it up to make sure. It's Little Nog.
Little Nog. Sure Dog says it's Big Dog.
Well, Sure Dog's wrong. I'm looking it up on the Wikipedia.
All right, whatever. Either way, either of the Nogueiras.
They are very similar, except Big Nog's been through many wars.
Yeah.
Many more wars.
Right, he has.
But go ahead, I'm sorry.
But yeah, Big Nog won to he's gone against, some very, very, very tough guys. But either way, you know, you got a high world-class wrestler well, I wouldn't call him world class, but a very good wrestler in Rashad Evans,
yeah,
who's drastically improved from his days on the Ultimate Fighter. His real only losses are to the elite of the division, John Jones and Lyoto Machida. You know, or unless you want to count the draw to Tito Ortiz, but that was a long time ago.
This is
a guy who's gonna come out. He's gonna dictate his game plan. He's gonna stick and move, strike well. If he needs to take you down, he's gonna do that, and he's gonna ground and pound you out. Nogueira's they're past their prime. He's past their prime, and you know, what are they gonna do? I mean, there's not much to say. You know, they've had some. They're always dangerous if they get it to the ground. They can always get a submission. But really, I see this as a lopsided fight. I think Rashad Evans is going to take us down and grind out a three round decision, and it'll be it's not going to be a quick night, but it's going to be a pretty decisive victory for Rashad Evans.
Okay, now another main card fight: Alistair Overeem making his return as well, taking on your favorite Bigfoot, Antonio Silva.
Oh dear God! Bigfoot, so overrated.
He's going to get murdered.
he is going to get destroyed. There is no place I can see this. I mean, a guy that big always has a puncher's chance. If he connects,
true.
If he connects, he can knock a guy out.
Yes.
That being said, Overeem is just worlds beyond Bigfoot
in terms of skill. I'm surprised he even has to take this fight. I thought he was right back into the heavyweight title picture, but they're coming
off the steroid thing.
Yeah.
You know, although he didn't actually test, he tested positive for it in pre-fight. So he's had the suspension. He hasn't been able to get a license. He's coming in. He's coming off, you know, over a year off, and you know, the last guy he fought was a guy who had diverticulitis and was headed to the WWE.
Yeah.
That being said, he's a dominant striker. Very tough guy. Good takedown defense. Well above Bigfoot Silva in terms of skill, in my opinion. I don't see this as a close fight. This should be over quickly.
Yeah.
I fully expect Overeem to get a quick knockout victory and put this away very, very early.
I'd agree. We also have Fitch taking on Maya. What do you see there? A long three rounder.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really what it's going to come down to. Fitch, you know, his smothering style, it will pretty much counteract anything that Damian Maya, even though Damian Maya has dropped to welterweight now, much stronger at welterweight, shown really good speed at welterweight.
Mm-hmm.
He is not going to have his ground game is not such that it will counter Fitch's wrestling. Fitch's wrestling is just so stifling.
Yeah.
He's not going to get caught in a submission. He's very crafty. He's very hard to put away. Very hard to put away. And Damian Maya's game mostly relies on submitting guys.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think of Maya as having the kind of power he's going to need to KO Fitch. Fitch has been flash knocked out before, but you really don't see that coming out of a guy like Fitch. It's more likely that Maya is going to come out and have to try to figure a way to get him into use his great Brazilian jiu-jitsu and get him down and get a quick early submission. But like I said, Fitch is really, really tough to win. It's really, very tough to submit. It's going to be a hard night for Damian Maya, I think. But it could be, like I said, it's very likely to go three rounds and very likely to be a ground, dragged-out fight.
Yeah. We also have Joseph Benavidez taking on Ian Uncle Creepy McCall.
Yeah, this is the battle of the flyweights who didn't win, if you will.
Creepy, huh?
Uncle Creepy. You gotta like Uncle Creepy.
Dan, you would like Uncle Creepy, I think.
What is, why is the uncle creepy?
He looks like a creepy uncle.
I have one of those, and I'd really, that, no.
Yeah, he's got the mustache and everything like this. This is,
does he have a prison record?
Yes, yeah. He does.
Definitely not watching. I'll start going, no!
Yeah.
I got to stop yelling.
Yeah. These are two guys. You know, Benavidez is a tough guy to handle. Uncle Creepy. These are probably the top 2-3 flyweights in the world, other than Mighty Mouse. And you know, with the lack of depth at flyweight in the UFC currently, I gotta think that the winner of this fight is got to be talked about is to get another shot at Mighty Mouse. You know, this is Benavidez is a good striker. He has great footwork, and McCollum is a good wrestler. I think Benavidez is going to edge this one out in a 3-round decision, just because he seems to have more tools. But McCall is always finds ways to survive and win. He's very strong. If he gets Benavidez down, he could very well pound him out. So I can see that being a very close fight. But I think I'm going to go with Benavidez on this one, just barely.
All right. Do you see anything in the preliminaries that looks appealing to you?
There's a lot of journeymen up there. Evan Dunham and Gleison Tebow on the final card, final fight of the preliminary card. That could be pretty good. Tyron Woodley coming over from Strikeforce. We'll see how he does against Jay Heron.
I hate Woodley so much.
Yeah, well, Jay Heron.
His whole strategy was just to get on top of you. Oh, I hate him so much.
Yeah, well, Jay Heron has a lot of hype coming into the UFC after coming out of Bellator, but he's 1-1 right now. His last fight was a unanimous decision loss to Jake Ellenberger, so he's looking to come back and reestablish himself in the UFC. Tyron Woodley is not a terribly exciting fighter, but he did beat Nate Marquardt.
Punch.
So,
yeah.
Or, sorry, he lost to Nate Marquardt, I should say. He beat Paul Daly, is what I was thinking of. I was looking at Nate Marquardt's loss. He did beat Paul Daly. Was a good fighter. He beat Tarek Saffiedine, the last Strikeforce champion. So he's got a decent resume. I look for Heron to probably win that fight. Other than that, there's some names there we've seen before. Eve Edwards, longtime guy who seems to either lose spectacularly or win spectacularly. That should be pretty interesting. Jacob Volkman, another guy who's kind of had some ups and downs in UFC. So there's some names on there. That'll be interesting. But, you know, if you missed the preliminary card, I wouldn't feel too bad about it.
All right. One other thing I wanted to bring up is today it was announced the co-main event of UFC 159. That's April 27th. We are going to see Alan Belcher coming off a loss,
mm-hmm.
taking on Michael Bisping coming off a loss. So these are two guys that have a lot to prove, and a lot of people are going to say this is going to be a stand-up war. How do you see it going down?
Yeah, I imagine it will be a stand-up war. You know, Belcher had a lot of hype recently, but then he lost pretty badly. Bisping, of course, we talked about him. As this was his time, lost pretty badly.
Yeah.
Both of these guys need a win. Bisping, I think, is still going to be the better fighter there. He's still an elite light heavyweight, or middleweight, I should say. I think Bisping will get that done. Maybe I'll see something in the intervening time between then and now. But for right now, yeah, I would lean Bisping on that one.
That's a quick turnaround, really, for Bisping, too. I mean, he really picked up this fight, co-main event. I really hope Belcher can put it together because I really like the guy. I like his game. And it's a shame because I thought he was finally headed in the right direction until that wonderful Okami got in his way.
Yeah, Yushin Okami. Like, curse him for trying to win a fight.
Curses. Yes. And also, Congo's taking on Roy Nelson on that card.
I like that fight.
It's an interesting fight.
It's an interesting fight. I think Congo will lose.
Yeah.
Because I think I hope Roy is smart enough to actually use his wrestling and his submission game on that fight.
Probably not.
Probably not. But because Congo on the ground is not good.
Congo, the guy's made it. I like Congo. I don't know why. I like him. But
he looks
Roy
like
Nelson,
an action figure.
Yeah, well, he does. But Nelson, you know, he's the crowd favorite. He's like the guy that you're drinking a beer with, and he's like, oh crap, I got to fight, you know, and he leaves. And, I mean, that's the best description I can say for Roy Nelson. Or the truck driver that, like, drops off.
At least
off.
He's not creepy.
He's a little creepy.
Yeah, you have to see him. But I really like this.
I think Grizzly
fight.
Adams. And you got Roy Nelson, who fights, yeah, and you got Roy Nelson.
I mean, this is an unbelievable fight for me. I mean, I think it's going to end early. One of them's getting knocked out. And probably not Nelson, because who the heck was it? Verdum came back and just kept on kept on kneeing him in the face over and over again and couldn't put this guy away. He was a zombie by the end of the third round. And he was like that against Junior Dos Santos.
Went five rounds with Junior Dos Santos. Or three rounds with Junior Dos Santos.
The guy just can't be put away. So this is an amazing fight, and we'll see. And Congo has been knocked out before, I believe. So.
Yeah, Congo, he's like I said, he's built like an action figure. He's really strong. When he puts it together, he looks crazy dominant, but you
and
get him on
French.
The ground. And he's French.
French. Yeah. How is that? I don't know.
I don't know. But there you have it. But yeah, but he's always there. He's always good for. He loses, but he comes back. He seems to always have a job in the UFC.
You know what? And he almost lost a fight, but somehow he didn't get knocked out. I think Pat Barry woke him back up, and he wound up on wobbly legs knocking out Pat Barry. Remember that fight?
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy, I don't know. It's going to be an amazing fight, that one. Plus John Jones, Chael Sonnen. There's also going to be Pat Healy from Strikeforce making his debut, taking on Jim Miller. So I'm telling you, that night is definitely April 27th. Mark it down.
If injuries can hold themselves off, we got some pretty good fights coming up. We'll see if we can keep the injury bug out.
I certainly agree. So... my goodness, a lot of good things going on for the UFC. I think toward the end of last year, especially after the cancellation of whatever UFC that was, after that cancellation, things were starting to get a little rocky. Strikeforce kind of went kaplooey, and it was like a dark era a little bit, but I think it's starting to rebound with some really good fights they're going to be putting on.
They had a string of bad luck, and, you know, it happens. But... there's too much talent under the banner for it to last long, and they're too smart of businessmen for it to be to go too long.
Yeah, definitely. So it's about that time to say goodbye for another week. Next week we will have, of course, it is Devin Moore, former CZW World Champion, currently the Tag Team Champion. He will be on. Drew Gulak has confirmed for next week. There was a bit of a mix-up as far as the times, but he will be back next week. So it's an all-CZW show. Looking forward to that.
Let's get the CZW theme song.
Do they have one? I don't think they really have one. Yeah, I don't.
I remember the old one on the old TV show that was on WGTW, Channel 19, Philadelphia, Wilmington.
Was it a thrash metal song?
Yeah. It was... unfortunately, generic.
You know what? CZW News, Niles Young, he's no longer Niles Young. Call him Susio.
I was waiting for when the Italian name would pop up. Hey, you see that? We are just alike. You know what? I drop my fake name, he drops his fake name.
He is now Susio. He's in charge of the front.
Susio.
Yeah, in charge of the front, and they had a big thing with Drew Gulak, actually.
Happy birthday, Phil Collins, by the way.
Dan.
Shut up.
Ah,
there we go.
My night is complete.
Yes. So that's next week. Of course, this week we were joined by Justin America. Follow him on Twitter at JustinAmerica82.
As he jumps off the cliffs of Dover.
Yeah. I will
accept your correction, Dean. It is Little Nog.
Thank you. It just didn't make sense for Big Nog to drop down.
But I'm looking, I'm like, well, yeah, I'm just looking at it, like, and then as we were talking, I'm like, no, you're right, it should be Little Nog. I was like, wait a minute.
You do not feed him his ego.
Yeah, light heavyweight and all that. So,
hey, I get my digs in. So
wait a minute.
I make mistakes occasionally.
I remember. You know, I'm gonna do research on the CZW thing because I remember something different, sir.
As far as what?
Theme song.
No, I don't. I really don't think they have one. They don't. I'm not
saying they have one now, but I think they had something very similar to
ECW.
Yeah, and I remember something with words too. I'm pretty sure I'm right.
No, you probably are. I'm not saying that you are. I just don't know offhand what it was. I don't think I ever watched the show.
Oh, I did.
When they had the TV show.
Unfortunately, I was watching it. When what's his name from Tough Enough was on and had the bad back.
I don't even recall.
God, I can't remember his name now. It was, the show was produced very similarly to ECW. It's not that it was a bad TV show. It was just...
You know how close I was to getting Skidmark on the show? Very close, Dan. Very close.
Skidmark?
Yeah. Very close to getting Skidmark on. He wrestles in Delaware from time to time. It's true.
Okay. All right.
It's a true story. I just thought you'd be fascinated by that. Also,
sorry, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You jerk.
Wow. I'm so happy.
I thought it would have been a great interview.
You know what? Is Paul Package dead yet?
I don't know. We lost connection with Paul Package. Also this week, the Mystery Men, probably my favorite interview. Wow. I can't wait to talk to them again. Dan, what's the Twitter?
It is The Mystery Men.
All right, so follow them there. The YouTube?
I'm sorry, continue.
No, the YouTube, Dan, is?
The YouTube is youtube.com/TheMysteryMen and the number one, Mystery Men 1.
So it's just the number one, not like a number, it's just a one.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mystery Men 1. Or The Mystery Men 1? Is the in front of it?
No, The Mystery Men 1.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. But wow, a lot of good stuff there. We also have National Pro Wrestling Day is coming up this Saturday in Philadelphia.
I hope you are you going to go? I'm not going to be able to make that.
I'm going to go simply to network.
Yeah, cool. I was trying to make it. But it would have been 3 weekends, and I just can't do it. I have to do 3 weekends in Jersey. I can't do it.
No, I understand, man.
But I was going to try to come do that with you, and I was like, I can't do it.
Well, I'm going to rep with the Hell in a Cell Talk Radio shirt.
Shoot, I should have sent you the stickers.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
All right, cool.
The stickers, I don't want to carry, like, a bunch of stuff, so I don't think this is the place for it.
Yeah, next week we're also going to have a real contest for this DVD.
Okay. Nobody got back to you besides Chris there.
Not Chris, and Chris, you don't get it.
Employees of the Hell of a Cell are not eligible.
Employees of Hell of a Cell and other wrestling companies are not eligible. Thank you.
That's right.
That's the story. Boy, we're prohibited.
Of course, we have Retaliation coming up on the 16th of February. We'll be there doing a live show. Frigid Reception's coming up as well. A lot of good stuff coming up. For Hell in a Cell. So just stay tuned. We're here Wednesday nights, and you saw us roll with the punches tonight very early. Roll in with the punches.
But it was all sorted out, and we made it through. I'm still not sure what happened the first hour. It's like a haze. It was like that time I went to Ozfest, and the pot got tossed around behind me, and I didn't see all of In Flames set because I got a contact eye. Whole thing gone out of my memory.
I love that story, Dan.
It's true, dude.
Why did I never hear that story?
Dude, all right, so I'm sitting there. No, this is real quick, and then I'll let you wrap. I'm sitting there. I'm like fourth row in this section, and I got my fire department T-shirt on, and this guy taps me on the shoulder. He goes, "You want it?" I was like, I'm looking around. I'm like, security. No, I think I'll pass. And it gets down the row and all the way back again. It's one joint. And In Flames is setting up. And then they stopped. It was gone. I don't know what happened.
You know, it's funny you say security, because
they don't
give
a damn.
Well, if you ever went to a Grateful Dead show, they would partake in such things.
Yeah, because everybody there was high. P.S. In Flames did a cover of Land of Confusion from Genesis that year.
Dan, come on.
That's why I was there.
Good grief. For one cover. You were there for one cover.
Well, I mean, I was there for the ex-girlfriend, but she turned up being a bitch, so I don't count that part.
Fair enough. For Omega Squad, Chris Green, where can the fine people find you?
Second degree burns on my face.
The fine people can find me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
Quinkinink.
For Dan Colachico, where can the fine people find you, Dan?
DanLaw83.
I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County until next week, when we will be joined by Drew Gulak and Devin Moore.
Hey.
You guys have a great week.
A lot of you people out there might be wondering why I did what I did tonight, why I got myself involved in the brawl for it all, in the match, why I handcuffed Tank Toland. I'll tell you why. I don't like Tank Toland. I'm done playing games with Tank Toland. From now on, whatever happens, you have to remember one thing, Tank. I tried to be your friend. I tried to reach out to you time and time again. You had to embarrass me. 2 months in a row. 2 months in a row, and then tonight, you got your friend Don Warren involved. You know what, Tank? You're showing up to a fist fight with your bare hands. I'm bringing a chainsaw.